I'd ask you to please turn with me to the Gospel of John and chapter 19. The Gospel of John and chapter 19 and verse 17. And he, that is Jesus, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center. Now, during this afternoon, back at home, my thoughts moved from the message I prepared from the book of Job, acquainting yourselves with God, because I was very moved by the morning prayer meeting, where the emphasis was very much upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the only way. To whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And I want this evening to show to you from the scripture, as the Lord will help me, how it is that Jesus Christ is most assuredly the one above all others, and he is actually central to the history of this world. He is central to the history of this world. Jesus Christ, as we have read in the passage of scripture before us, was crucified between two thieves. And this symbolized a real fact about the unique position of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in relation to the human race. The crucifixion accounts records that at one side of Jesus was a person who repented of his sin and came to trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To whom else could he go? He realized it was only the Lord Jesus. And he looked to him in the latter part of his life, in the last few hours of his life, in fact. And he obtained salvation through the precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On the other side was a man, a thief, who remained as an unbeliever. He suffered just like the other thief, yet it hardened his heart, and he died a rebel unto God. Now, the point being here is that Jesus was in the central position between these two men. He was the Savior of one and the judge of another. The Savior of one and the judge of another. And so John describes this event as Jesus in the center. And the Word of God is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. And there's a reason why Jesus was not on the right side or the left side. He was in the center. He was in the midst. There is a fundamental reason. Because we have a profound picture of the centrality of the Lord Jesus Christ to the history of the world. His position at Calvary confirms the unique position of that God the Father intended his only beloved Son to take. Because Jesus Christ was the one chosen, the anointed one, who would take and does take the central role in the history of the world. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And using picture language, if ever there was to be taken a group picture of the church, of every single member of the church, and we were all, those of us who are following the Lord Jesus Christ and truly saved, were gathered in this amazing picture. The person in the center, the person central to that picture, would be the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, on the stage of the history of the world, Jesus Christ has a central role. Not in popularity, because the majority of the world reject him, but on the role in which he took on behalf of the world as the Savior and Lord, and will take as its judge. And I wanted to examine then this evening from Scripture the various ways in which the Lord Jesus Christ takes his central role as Lord. If we go right back to the beginning of time, we see the unique position that was taken by the Lord Jesus Christ in time. The Word of God says that Adam and Eve were created by God. They lived in perfect happiness in a place called the Garden of Eden. But disastrously, Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They had one test of obedience. They had perfect beings. They were responsible before God. And they had no reason to sin. The world was perfect. There was no pain. There was no suffering. There was no tears. There was no disappointment. There was only joy. There was only happiness. There was only perfect fellowship with God. There was no excuse. But God gave them, as responsible human beings, a test of obedience. And instead of obeying God's reasonable command, they follow the lies of the archenemy of God, Satan. And as a consequence, their relationship with God was broken. They became the slaves of Satan by nature. And immediately there was an absolute and essential need in time for someone to defeat Satan, to someone to overcome this impossible problem to man of sin. And God promised, after this dreadful fall, which has affected us all, in his great mercy and love, that he would send somebody who would defeat Satan. He would bruise his head. He would be the captor over Satan. And he would release those held captive under his evil power. And this person is his only beloved Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. This person is Jesus Christ, then, the Son of God. God said he would bruise Satan's head, meaning he would defeat and overwhelm Satan, break his power, and get the victory for all those who put their trust in him. And so from the very beginning of history, Christ has a central role and purpose. He was not an add-on after event, but he was central to God's preordained plan for his creation. The Apostle Peter tells us that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in this role as Savior and Lord, was assuredly foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for you. So the unique position, Jesus in the center, right at the very beginning of time, at the fall, there he is, placed by God, the anointed Son of God, the anointed Messiah, the anointed Savior. I have set my anointed one, my Son, on the hill of Zion. And so, secondly, we see the unique position of Christ at the center in his very life here upon earth. Throughout his ministry here on earth, Jesus had those that loved him and followed him, and those who hated him and opposed him. He was in the center, and on either side were some that loved him and some that hated him. This was the story of the life of Jesus. Even at his birth, angels rejoiced, and a small group of shepherds and wise men came to worship him. And those Simeon and Anna, they worshipped him in the temple. But at the same time, King Herod sought to kill him. There was both this support and opposition, and Jesus was in the center. And when his ministry commenced, there were those that truly followed him and those that opposed him. And as his ministry developed, he became the talking point in the religious world. He was the center of attention, with people taking sides. There was much murmuring, we read, among the people concerning him. Some said he is a good man. Others said no, but he deceives the people. The subject this evening is Jesus at the center. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, both God and man in one person. And this claim had the effect of forcing people to come down on one side or the other. And so this is the same this evening. If the word of God is true, which I truly believe with all my whole being, by faith it is, then Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and Jesus Christ is the only Savior. You see, God doesn't give us an option here. God doesn't give us the opportunity as human beings to sit on the fence, as it were, and keep our options open, like an agnostic, and say, well, I'm just thinking about it, and maybe there is a God, maybe there isn't. That's you saying there isn't a God in your mind. That's you saying that is unbelief. Anything that sits on the fence, anything that does not come down in submission to God and trust only in God, is unbelief. So there is no middle road. We're either believing God or we question God, or we are not following God. We are rebelling against God. And so God purposely puts his Son Jesus Christ in the center. And we are challenged by this in our thinking. And this is why so many people reject the gospel and reject God, because they do not want to open up their minds to an inescapable question, an inescapable issue. An inescapable issue: is God who he says he is? Is Jesus Christ the Son of God? Because if that is right, then it means we need to truly repent of our sin. And we need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ without delay. We need to look to this man, this perfect man, this Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, his claim then, while here upon earth, and it still does today through the Word of God, has the effect of forcing people to come down on one side or the other. And you are one side or the other this evening. Some people pass off his claims and just consider him to be a wonderful moral model. Some people say he's an enlightened religious teacher. Some people speak of Jesus as an esteemed prophet. But God does not give us this option. We either believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the Savior of the world, or we reject him as a liar. That is where God brings us this evening. Jesus in the center. He that believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself. He that believes not God has made him a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. So John reminds us of this solemn truth, that we think in our pride and in our ignorance and our little minds that we can make an assessment, and we can assess whether or not Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus is the Savior, Jesus was crucified, Jesus was resurrected, Jesus is the... We can make all those decisions ourselves, we think, and we can think that we can make the assessment, and we might just, if we are feeling quite generous toward the Lord Jesus, he is a good prophet, a good man. But God does not give us that option. He's saying to you this evening, if that is your position, that actually you are an unbeliever. God has placed his Son, Jesus Christ, in a unique position as Lord over the whole world. And with Jesus Christ in the center, the world is divided on the side of the believer or the unbeliever. There are many tribes and nations. There are billions of people in this earth. But actually, they're divided into two. We are divided as humanity into believer and unbeliever. And the question is, what side are we this evening? But I want us to look then at this unique position of Jesus in the center at the cross here, the crucifixion. As mentioned at the outset, there is this incredible, powerful picture for us. On one side, there was a thief who in his agony cursed and blasphemed against Jesus. And on the other side was a thief who began that way. He also cursed and blasphemed Jesus. But then the light shone into his heart and mind and heart. And as he hung upon the cross, in his own agony, he looked across at the suffering Savior, and he realized that, yes, he was there justly, because he was a thief. He was just receiving the just reward for his deeds. But this man, Jesus, he's done nothing wrong. And he saw the perfection of Jesus Christ. And he looks to him as his only hope. There is none other name given unto heaven whereby we can be saved. So he cries out, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And we see this picture, this unique role and position of Jesus at the time. Jesus in the center. On one side a believer, on the other side an unbeliever. To one he was the willing Savior, who said to the dying thief, today you will be with me in paradise. To the other, Jesus Christ was the weeping judge. Never ever think that God delights in sending people to hell. That God is some vindictive God. That God is some God, that some type of God that takes some sort of satisfaction in sending people to hell. That is not our God. Our God has to send people to hell because of his justice. He has to deal with sin because of who he is, the holy God. But God delights in mercy. That's what God delights in. And Jesus was a weeping judge. You say, how do you know that? Well, when he looked at Jerusalem, as he before he came to the Calvary, and before he entered Jerusalem, on the way down to Jerusalem, he looked at Jerusalem, and he wept over Jerusalem. And he said, how I would have gathered you to myself. You could have been saved. You could have been redeemed. But you would not. What side of the cross are you this evening? Jesus stands as the one mediator, the peacemaker between God and man. The unique position of Christ in his death, Jesus in the center, oh, as the Savior. Let's think of it in this way now. But the Jesus is the center, takes a central role between God and man. Jesus is the one who stands as the one mediator between God and man. And he has endured the wrath of God because of sin on behalf of all those who will put their trust in him. And when we repent of our sin and we believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God the Father looks at his Son and he sees us through his Son, Jesus in the center. He doesn't see us apart from his Son. He sees us through his Son and he delights in us. He accepts us in the Beloved, the Word of God says. We're accepted in the Beloved. His finished work on the cross, his perfection, his righteousness, his obedience becomes ours. And the merit of his sufferings for our sin is put to our account. And God the Father views us in Christ in this unique central role and position. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, Paul says. Jesus in the center. But what about the unique position of Christ in heaven? We still come to the Father through the Son. He ever lives to make intercession for his people. And one of his great works in heaven now is to speak on behalf of all his people to the Father. And when a believer prays, they do so in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a faithful high priest who is touched with the feeling of their infirmities, he presents their petitions to the Father, and in his unique central role between God the Father and us, there is Christ to present our positions, and that is why we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But what about the unique position of Jesus on the Day of Judgment? At the end of the world, Christ will come in great glory with the angels, and every eye shall see him. On that great and awesome day, the Bible tells us that as the judge, Jesus Christ the Lord will make that eternal divide between the believer and the unbeliever. He will be at the center. Jesus will be at the center. On one side will be believers, on the other side unbelievers. And Jesus will take this unique and central position in history at the end of time, as he did at the beginning of time. And we read in the Gospel of Matthew 25 that when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What side are you this evening? Well, what about heaven? What about at the end of time, when this world is burned up and we're in the new heavens and the new earth? What will be the position of Christ in the new heavens and the new earth? Well, we read that he will be the great uniting light. There will be no need of the sun. Of all the inhabitants of heaven, he will be the light of glory. And all will look to him, and they will admire him and worship him. He will be in the most glorious sense eternally, Jesus in the center, not as a divider of the humanity, but the uniting light of believers in glory, all gathered around. We read, the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated, and the Lamb is its light. Jesus at the center. Well, a question for us this evening. What side are we? What side are we? We read in the Word of God of a centurion who oversaw the events at Calvary. The centurion would have been fully aware of all the events of that day, that awesome day. And at the end of those events, those most solemn events, the Roman centurion looked at Jesus on the cross, crucified between a believer and an unbeliever. He'd no doubt heard the dying thief cry, Remember me, remember me. He'd no doubt heard the blasphemies of the unbelieving thief who died a rebel. He'd felt the earthquake when Jesus came to the end of his life. And this is what he concludes with. This is his summing up. This is his assessment. Truly, this man was the Son of God. And if Jesus is the Son of God, which he is, there can only be one way forward this morning, this evening, for you and for me. It's looking unto Jesus. Come just as you are. Without any pretense, no need to put on any show, there's no need to pay any money, there's no need to hide. We just need to come, just as I am. And the Lord Jesus has the power to forgive all your sins. He died on the cross for sinners. He didn't come to die for self-righteous people. He didn't come to die for people that thought that they could have half of Jesus and half of themselves, and that they thought they could make themselves right with God, that they didn't need the Lord Jesus. He didn't come for those type of people who live and die like that. He died for this sort of person. There was a man we read of in Scripture who was a really corrupt man, a very corrupt man. And he diddled people out of many, many thousands of pounds through false taxes. And he was an extremely wealthy man in terms of how he got his money. But he came in under conviction of sin. And there were two men, he was one of them, that went to the temple that day to pray, and one man was a Pharisee. And he walked up to the front of the temple, and he in the area of worship, and he said, I'm glad I'm not like other men are. I do this and I do that. I'm not such a bad person after all. I'm glad I'm not like that publican, that man at the back. And the man at the back, the publican, so-called, he was the tax gatherer, he had a very short prayer. And this is what he prayed. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, that man's prayer was heard. And that man was justified through Jesus Christ, the Lord. So as we come just as we are, and acknowledge who we are, and just come as we are, the Lord Jesus receives sinners. And God delights in mercy. And to be the right side of the cross, the right side of Jesus on that dreadful day of judgment, God is calling us this evening to come, just as we are, to look to him. Now we're going to sing our final hymn.